This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's shir. The halachic topic that we're going to be exploring this evening is genetic screening in halacha. It's a very, very interesting topic. In the short time that we have, we'll sort of give an overview of this topic. It is connected to the parsha. Parsha's Lech Lecha, genetic screening, what's the connection? Well, of course, in this week's parsha, Lot was captured, and Avraham Avinu undertakes a rescue mission. Vayikhes Lot, etc. Vayishma Avram Kinish Ba'ochiv, Vayorek Es Chanichov, etc., etc. So he undertakes a rescue mission. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Ritzeach, he codifies this concept in halacha, i.e., Kol Hayochel Lahatzil V'lo Hitzil, over Alosam Adam Recho. That a person who is able to save somebody and doesn't, there is a prohibition that he transgresses of lo samud. That a person, anyone who can help another person, is obligated to do so. And then the Rambam, quoting the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, concludes, it's in the second box, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. Kol ha'ma'abed nefesh achas Mishrael, anyone who destroys one Jewish soul, ki'ilu ovat kol ha'olam kulo. It's as if he's destroyed an entire world. And conversely, kol ha'makayim nefesh achas Mishrael, ki'ilu kiyim kol ha'olam kulo. So that's quite a good segue into genetic screening because the statistics are astonishing. I don't know how much you've explored it. We're familiar with Dayasharim and other these sort of things. But with the establishment of Dayasharim, which I suppose is the premier sort of genetic screening organization in the religious world, of course there are others, here in the UK there's Genetics and other such organizations, they're all slightly different, but Dayasharim is perhaps the most famous. The background story is fascinating, but the statistics are also fascinating, that they say, as in exactly how they know exactly, but they say over 8,000 families since its inception in 1983, have been spared from having children born with a very serious genetic disease. The screening numbers are huge, 37,000 individuals screen a year and across 13 countries. Remarkable statistics. It was set up by Rabbi Joseph Eckstein and his wife in 1983. It's a terribly sad story. They four of their five children passed away from Tay-Sachs, which is a horrendous thing to have to witness. You know, of course, even one child, to have four out of five children die this terrible disease is just excruciating. And he or they innovated a brilliantly simple and hitherto unheard of solution to just have widespread screening in the Jewish world. And remarkably, although this for them, because they must both be carriers of Tay-Sachs, they had subsequent children and none of them had Tay-Sachs. Now, it's interesting that the statistics, of course, don't change for them. The statistics, I think, is one in four. If both parents are carriers, one in four children will have Tay-Sachs, statistically. So the fact that four out of his five children died was very statistically very unusual. But then afterwards, all the subsequent children, none of them had Tay-Sachs. The fact that they went on to have further children is a very brave thing to do. Yes, indeed. So this is something to explore. There's a lot of very interesting things. Again, we're going to just touch the surface, but just a couple of interesting points, and then we'll discuss the Tshuva of Rav Moshe. Although it's come to the fore in sort of recent decades, there is plenty of sources in Chazal about genetics. One very interesting one is the Gemara in Yevamos. If you look at the third box, the Mishnah, or it's a Gemara that says, Yivam Samach Tal Adam Abeis, Molo Horishin Umeis, that's if a child has Bris Mila, and sadly this child passes away, Sheini Umeis, and then a second child passes away, Shlishi Loi Simoil. You don't give Mila, it's Bris Mila, to the third child. And the Gemara explains, because the boys died, the first two children died, because the bleeding from the Bris Mila could not be stopped, and therefore that demonstrated hemophilic tendencies in the family. Now Rashi explains over there that the mother carries the gene and transmits it to her offspring, and the interesting proof of the fact that it's the mother that carries the gene is that if a father has three sons, two of which die from the bleeding, but the two sons are from different mothers, then the third child will have Bris Mila, because it's the same mother. That's the point. And therefore, for example, a man marries two different women. You know, in times of Chazal, that was acceptable. And he marries Rachel and he marries Leah. And they each have a child. And sadly, each child dies from Bris Milah. And then, let's say Rachel has a second child. That child needs to have Bris Milah, because the Chazaka is only established after, if it's the same mother, the third child of the same mother. And that is consistent with current genetic understanding, that that the hemophilia stems from a deficiency in the X chromosome, which is passed to a son by the mother. And in fact, the Meiri says that that's why the Gemara refers to the mother bringing a child for Bris Milah. It says, Mola Horishan. Mola means she malas, she gives Bris Milah to the child. Which again, that's referring to the mother bringing a child for Milah, which is really the point of this. So you see that there are sources for it. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer, in Siman Beis, in the very second Siman in Evan Ezer, says, Lo yisa adam isha lo mishpachas metzoroi v'lo mishpachas nichfin, whatever exactly they are, tzoras, epilepsy, whatever these seizures may be, because we're trying to avoid genetic transmission for future generations. So there's got to be some sort of established tendency of that. Now, the famous tshuva is Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's always important to know the dates of the tshuva. This tshuva is in Evan Ezer Chelik Dalet Siman Yud, and as you can see from the title, it's at the bottom of the page, Im Yesh Livdoik L'machas Teisaks Koedim HaNisuin. Should a couple screen for Teisaks before the wedding? And the date is Adar Sheni Tov Shin Lamed Gimel, which is Purim time 1973. Now that's 10 years before Do Yusharim, I think, was established. I think it was established in 1983. The question came up in 1973. And it was put to, if you see the question, Lemailas Kvoit Chasani Kibni, my son-in-law, who is like as precious to me as a son, Harav Hagon, Marina Harav Moshe David Tendler, Shlita. So that's Rav Moshe's son-in-law. And he put the question to Rav Moshe. If you turn over the page, very interesting. Kiven she'atanas hazeh ba'ofen kal. Since nowadays it's easily achieved, livdek, to screen and to test. Yesh lo'odanim eina ba'idek es atzma hu kaskira sinayim. Liros masha efshe liros. If you don't screen, you don't check, it's as if you're closing your eyes to see what you could see. Or mekiven she'im chas v'shon iridova kazeh. If both parents, the mother and the father, are both carriers, then it could be enormous pain and distress for the parents if they have a Tay-Sachs child. And therefore, in Haroyu, he says it's appropriate to undertake testing. And therefore, he says, it's important to publicize this through newspapers, Vaifanim, and other means. So it's to spread the word, says Rav Moshe, that one should be screened to avoid this horrible heartache. Now, there are some restrictions, and this Rav Moshe goes on to say. Let's have a look, see what he says in the next paragraph. Avol baro uposhet. I'm in the top of paragraph 5. Baro uposhet. Shetzorich leha'osos hadova betzina. One important thing is that this has to be done, betzina, with discretion. Shelo yeida bochur ache mechaveroi. Sorry, echod mechavero besula achas mechavereto. The boys shouldn't know about the results of the tests of the other boys, and the girls likewise. For gam haroife asher yase es la'abdika lo yigale l'shomish. And so too the doctor, who may be privy to this information, he has to remain confidential. Sorry, chadova lias betzina. Therefore, it needs to be done with confidentiality and with discretion. V'lochein l'tov adova lasus bekibbutz rav, k'mo b'yeshivos. And therefore, to do mass screenings where the information may become public is not a good idea, says Rav Moshe. And then he says something absolutely fascinating. If you look at the next paragraph, v'gam kafi sheyodua, as is well known, kochas hanefesh, according to sort of the psychological makeup of a person, sheroiv bnei odom soivin harbe mehatzovim shelohem, many people suffer from sort of sadness. Which is some sort of neurosis. Sometimes people make mountains out of molehills. Literally, they make something, a large thing out of something quite small. For chashash katan, the chashash gadol, and a small concern becomes a huge concern. But prat b'medina hazos kiyodua, especially here in America, says Rav Moshe. Shelochein chas v'shalom la'asos b'dikazu lebachurim tzirim. Therefore, don't do it to children who are too young. Shadayin ein chayshim b'inin nesuin, where they're not yet of marriageable age, it's premature. Until the age of 20 for boys, they're not really of marriageable age. Therefore, it's not necessary to even discuss it with them. And since it needs to be done with discretion, that other people don't know about it, for youngsters, they want to know what's going on. And if the information is in the public forum, it's very hard for them to keep a secret. And if word gets out that someone may be a carrier, then it could cause damage. Now, of course, it's not true. If one person is a carrier, there's no harm in that. The harm is if both the mother and the father are carriers. But given what Rav Moshe says, that if youngsters hear that they are carriers, they won't understand it, they'll become neurotic about it, they'll make it much bigger than it really is, and there could be damage. And so too, girls perhaps enter the marriage arena a little younger, maybe from the age of 18 already, etc. Okay, so if they're going to get married, you know, earlier than that, then it's less of a concern. But the benchmark would be 18 for a girl and 20 for a boy. So really what Ramosha is saying is that confidentiality is critical. Testing, he says, should be on an individual basis, not a mass screening. I think nowadays, Dor Yerushalayim do mass screenings. I read the stats that it's 400 mass screenings at 400 schools across the globe every year. So that's how they facilitate, I suppose, 37,000 individual screenings a year. But the point is, it's all done with absolute discretion. So for example, I know you're probably familiar with how it works, that a boy goes and gets tested, and he'll just become a number. She'll become a number, and if they decide to go out together, then you just put the two numbers into the system, you call up them, and then they send you one of two things. Either they'll say it's compatible or not compatible. That's it. So the confidentiality remains. And like I said, you know, it's interesting that Rav Moshe talks about neurosis in America and really protecting people from themselves. Otherwise, things become bigger than they really are. And this has become, you know, so widespread in the religious and the frum world that it's pretty much eliminated Tay-Sachs remarkably, which is an astonishing thing. Like I said, if a couple of Rachman Islan have a Tay-Sachs child, it's a horrific pain and a heartache. Just one final point, and that is, generally speaking, you know, we're talking about genetic screening and the idea of that. What happens if there are medical disclosures to make? How does that work in the dating process? I think we once had a whole share on it, but there just is interesting to bear this in mind. When should you disclose a medical problem? And what medical problems are disclosed? Like I said, that we had a full shiur on this, so you know we can refer to that. It's on Torah anytime. But just the general rule of thumb is that medical disclosures need to be done not too early in the process, not too late in the process. If it's too early, then it may unfairly jeopardize chances. And if it's too late in the process, then you know the couple could be emotionally invested, and it's unfair. It's difficult. So the general rule is you do it sort of about halfway through the, you know, so it depends which circle you swim in, right? So if, you know, in the Hasidish world where you date very quickly and very short, then it will be very early on. If it was in other circles where it's longer, then it will be, you know, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, who's very strong on this, and he, you know, the first question after he's asked to be Masada Kiddushin is, have the couple been screened and are they compatible, etc. He tells of a case in his Kehillah in Riverdale in New York where there's a family with two brothers, both had epilepsy, and he advised them that they don't have to disclose it on date number one because that will put them off unnecessarily. And you wait a little bit into the process, not too far into the process, and they're both happily married, and you know, it's fine. So one can't hold it back. One needs to disclose. You can't hold information like that back if it's a significant medical issue. But on the other hand, one has to do it under the guidance, like we've just said. So there we have it. Genetic screening halacha. It's an interesting topic, and Rav Moshe, and of course, is publicizes it with certain, you know, is very pro, with certain caveats about confidentiality and the like, to protect people from psychological effects, negative effects that may occur. But what Dari Sharam and other screening organizations have done have saved Klal Yisrael from enormous heartache. And Mitz Hashem, we shall be zochet to simchas and Doris Yisharim. Mitz Hashem.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.